Hey, remember to subscribe and follow my podcast so when I release a new episode, you get a notification. And follow me on Instagram. Yes, King Oliver. I am very active on there. Have a great day and enjoy the episode.
Because the police are going to be outnumbered. Look at the Black Lives Movement, for example. The police are going to be outnumbered. What are you going to do, send in the army? You can't do that because... And so now it's like they have to step down and then they swarm Washington or whatever. And now what do you do? Well, the only reason why we have stability is because of the police, which is the majority because of weapons. But then you can't just shoot everyone because fucking hell's going to grow loose. So what do you do?
Yeah, it's the possibilities are really up in the air right now. It's not clear what the extent of willingness on either side is to create this level of chaos. I see a lot of hope out there, but there's also signals that are pretty terrifying. So in terms of actually organizing tribe mentality, that's something I haven't really explored in my mind. Like you're saying, breaking up the boroughs in cities and breaking up states and countries and breaking up. It sounds pretty positive because then you're just, negative in that, like, you're only going to be surrounded by people that you feel like, you know, that don't like really extend your own sense of thinking. I think it's really valuable to really grow compassion by thinking on all sides, as opposed to just only being surrounded by your tribe and therefore everybody else is lunatics. And like, how could they possibly be, you know, vegans, or how could they possibly be paleo? Like, that's, it just, you know, it creates this like lower consciousness of humanity. But of course, in terms of just raw peace, I can see that proposition being something that could, I don't know how we would transition there though. That's pretty insane.
So on what you said about, it's not good being amongst people who believe the same as you, because you start to like reinforce your own belief and it seems to be real. And then other people question you and it's like, you're absolutely wrong. But at the same time, if you think about, say, you know, tribe mentality, you've got cavemen all in the cave. They know that when the sun comes up, they hunt and then they light the fire and then they go to bed. So they don't know any different. A cow in a field looks at its mate next door, also in a field. They're eating grass. So it's almost like you only know there's an alternative because you know there's an alternative. Let's say a plane took you to China and you see this 5D machine, and then you go back to, say, Norway, where there's a population of, say, 30,000 people. They're like, fucking hell, have you seen that 5D thing? And they've only got a radio. So it's like what you're exposed to, you now become aware of. But if you weren't exposed to it, you wouldn't know it exists. So, yeah, as a wise person, I want to broaden my knowledge. But that's only because I want to be amongst knowledgeable people to gain knowledge, to teach knowledge. But if I just didn't know any of this existed, I'll just be a monk on a rock and I would have no clue about movements and what's going on in the city. And I wouldn't have a clue. But then it does come down to peace. And it's like, you look at all these countries around the world and they're going to the government for answers. And there is no answer. The government can't provide the answer. The answer is go the other way and forget what you want to happen, just literally go and dig a hole and be peaceful. And honestly, I think that is the only way where people just realize that they get so angry with, say, governments, not because it's their fault, just because that's just the way it is. They get so angry with, there's always a cause. They think, do you know what? Fuck this. Government never do anything anyway. Fuck the world. I'm just going to be happy. And then when people go inwards and they go the other way, they just do what makes them feel good. And then say they're small people around them. They confide in each other's thoughts. Like, you know what? Fuck the government. Let's just go and smoke a joint in the park. Let's just cook a nice steak on the barbecue. And then everyone will be saying the same thing. Yeah, let's just do this. Let's just do that. And they really start to appreciate their friend and their, like, that three people on the same page. Yes, when you go into the mash, you feel empowered and everyone's thinking the same. But you realize it's not going to change and you become so peaceful through letting go of this anger that you don't care anymore. You don't care about movements. You just feel so peaceful, not giving a shit for the first time. It's almost like not going on your phone for 3 days. If you can get to that point, you realize how peaceful your mind is, how your eyes aren't straining, how your brain is just not thinking about everything. You realize, holy shit, this feels great. And then you just don't feel the need to look at your phone. But I think that you can't tell yourself, don't go on your phone, stop watching porn. You have to get there through thinking that thing is there, what you're looking for, and you keep going back and you're convinced this, you're going to get this thing, and you're convinced, and then you realized you can't be told it's not there. You have to like go down that path until you realize, my dad told me it wasn't here. Everyone told me it wasn't here. I've done this 4 or 5 times now and it isn't here. Maybe I'm gonna have to accept the fact that this thing I'm looking for isn't here. And then you go back, and then that distance between going back is what you need to have that time apart to realize, fuck, what I'm looking for isn't there.
Yeah, I hear everything you're saying, and I fully agree. That comes with a lot of experience to be able to sort of draw those parallels and those conclusions. You know, the way that we get to these types of realizations is through getting messy, through trying and error, trial and error, and getting our feet dirty along the way. So who knows how many other people are going to come through that, you know, sort of realization that you just went through. But that definitely makes sense to me.
Like, if you go back in time, you look at wars and flus, right? That killed millions and millions of people. You look at when trees are close together, right? You plant loads of trees, or there's acorns in it. You know, a tree drops loads of acorns. Lots of small shoots start to grow. And then over time, the strong ones that sort of got their first grip in the ground first grow, and they take the nutrients of the other trees.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. When you look on Google Maps, you look at trees, crop circles, and they're all exactly the same distance apart. You go to a beach, okay, Malibu Beach. People are always kind of the same distance apart. And I don't mean like social distancing. I just mean I want a certain amount of space. You look at picnics on fields. People are always a certain distance apart. And you see that the strong tree survives and all the weak trees just die off. And then it's the same cycle again. Yes. Medicine is good. If your nan's got a disease, medicine saves her. That's fantastic. You could argue the fact that it's because she had a shitty diet and didn't get enough sleep and she was angry that created that disease.
Yeah.
But that's besides the point. And so you think, wow, man is doing all this great stuff to solve a problem man created. But when you think about how wars killed people off and kept that distance between the trees, which allowed trees to grow, and all the flus back in the day and diseases kept like civilization balanced. That is why it's not balanced, because we're trying to keep every human being alive.
Yep. Like, that's exactly
it's
right.
It's not how life works. It's almost like
it's not.
We're all playing God. We're trying to keep every human being alive. And you look to a tree and it dies in the summer. It dies in the winter. And so we're like, we're the only thing who's trying to stay alive forever, and nothing around us stays alive. Like, you just look at our dog, 20 years if he's lucky.
Oh yeah, I don't think very many dogs go that far. The little ones maybe, but yeah, no, you're right. This is like where the moral humanity, the moral codes of humanity crosses the lines of that nature, the laws of nature has put before us that are pretty clear when you look at it objectively, as opposed to emotionally about your grandma, about your, you know, humanity and stuff like that. So, you know, who are the governing bodies that are going to say, no, we need to refer to nature for these codes, as opposed to just what we think is right for the sake of making sure everybody is, you know, happy or something, right? That everybody gets to save their grandma.
You know, for example, the coronavirus, let's just say it takes a year to create a vaccine, and then it takes, say, 5 years to vaccine every 8 billion humans, right? Well, before you've even, like, say, created a flu, a jab, there's going to be something else that comes along, right? And it's almost like man is not going to be able to catch up. It's going to destroy companies, destroy our life. As we see, we can't get on a plane to Bali. Mm. We can't even go to the shop to get food. And then and there's not going to be enough masks. There's not going to be, government can't do shit. There's going to be no money, not enough nurses. I do think that nature always has a way of balancing itself out. You can't expect to go on a tube underground next to people and not catch it. I think that right now is a pivotal point for people to accept the fact that we are going to be losing control. For example, let's say 1 million people dying every year and a billion being born. Mm. It's going to become a point. And I think in the next 5 years, something will happen where it will wipe out a large amount of people. Mm. And this is why it's so important that if you don't want to be in that majority, you eat well, you sleep well, you let go of pain and angry stuff, you exercise, because as with the virus, if you have a weak immune through all these factors, you've got no chance. If you've got a strong immune, you win. And it's not the virus that's killing people, it's people's inability to fight off foreign pathogens.
Mm-hmm.
And with the way everything is, there's gonna be something soon. It might be a flu. I don't know what it will be. It could be mosquito bite, which I suppose is technically a flu, but something will happen where you can't really stop it. And I mean, if there wasn't flus and there wasn't countries blocking flights, you could see how this flu would have just wiped out millions of the weak-minded people. Is that good? Well, in terms of a species, yes. But if it's your nan involved, it's, where's the fucking government when they need them? You killed my nan. I'm going to sue you because you said social distancing when it was too late. And then so it's a mixture of both. There's literally no wrong or right.
Yeah, I know. I've been hearing all of and feeling a lot of what you're saying. And it's very true. You know, like, we have to recognize that we're a part of a time that's over capacity. So it doesn't. The family relations, the emotional attachments that we have, at the end of the day, they, again, are a part of a system that is going against the laws of nature. So nature is going to recorrect itself. Everything does at the end of the day. So you could be a part of the lucky majority, or you could be a part of the unlucky minority. And the earlier that I can imagine for someone, you know, to detach from, like you're saying, like, just focus on what is within your control, which is, you know, increasing your immune system and you know, doing the right actions to be able to do that. And then detaching from this, you know, the emotional strains of the unpredictability of it is probably the healthiest thing to do. And it will be, you know, individually, on an individual basis, you'll be able to lead the happiest life while this is happening, this recorrection. Which is scary, but it just is what it is. You can't deny it.
I used to eat really, really, really bad. I used to have just fast food, right? Sausage rolls, things high in acid and just fats and oils. And I used to feel sick like 60% of my whole life, right? And when you're growing up and everyone's eating the same thing for lunch and you just see it on adverts and your parents cook you this, you just eat it because it's there. I changed my diet to a keto diet, which is pretty much a vegan diet, right? It's just natural food, so nuts and olives and salmon and egg. I haven't felt sick since. And then I have a curry, I have an Indian, I have a biryani, strong in spices. I fast every night, and I was on a 16-hour fast as usual. I had leftovers in the morning. The first thing I ate was a chicken biryani, and I was puking up 3-4 hours later because my stomach acids were like, what the fuck is all this? Like, you've gone from fasting, eating all this natural food of no salt and no sugar, to eating the complete opposite, and that my stomach acids built up so much that I just had to puke it out. And I think to myself, people are just eating everything apart from natural foods. They're eating like sandwiches full of salts and preservatives, KFC, chicken and pizza, grilled cheese. I'm thinking, holy shit, I felt so bad just having said biryani that time in the morning. People must feel so bad all the time. They don't even know what it feels like to feel good. And it's not about vegan save the animals. It's about just giving your body what it should be eating. And it's like, that is why people get ill, have disease. That's why you're fat. And that's why you end up dying, because no thing can live or survive eating fat. I mean, not to mention being on the toilet all the time. I mean, Christ, I had some bread for the first time and I'm like shitting 3 times a day, and I stick enough to shit twice. I just think that it's overwhelming when you have all this knowledge and you can pretty much save the world, and you realize actually you can't save the world because that's the issue. Everyone's trying to save the world, and it's overwhelming. Like, you want to help people and you realize you can't. You literally can't. You can only literally save grandma by teaching her to get enough sleep and eat healthy, so her immune becomes strong, and make
even grandma set in her ways sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, she might say, "Oh yeah, I want to do all that," and then, you know, it's outside of, you know, she's an old dog at that point. Love her.
Grandma's been eating canned spam for the last 80 years, full of salt. You know, like my grandparents used to just like have salt on every single meal and then have a heart attack. Salt. It's like grandma's not changing anytime soon.
That's so funny. There's lots of people with different ideas on diets, and of course, you know, the health, even if you want to just say like saving the animals versus eating the animals, okay, you know, sure. But the health of the animal through its lifetime vastly changes the you know structure of its you know what you're putting in your body. So there's all kinds of considerations, and it's pretty simple, like you're saying. It's just natural foods, right? Whichever direction you want to go, whether it's keto or paleo or vegan or whatever you know thing is, like those are tend to be good options as long as it's natural along the way. So it's no surprise to me that you're feeling awesome on, you know, you laying the boundaries for in your diet that you are. And I have felt the same way, that I used to eat really, really terribly and have a
The next part of this podcast will be released very soon. Make sure you have subscribed and notifications are turned on. Stay tuned, everyone.